Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. Got a big weekend coming up, Memorial Day weekend, whether you're kind of back out into the world, maybe your state's reopened a bit. I know we all have to some degree, or you're still at home social distancing. Hope you have a great time. Thanks so much for making some time to hang out with us as we head into this holiday weekend. Michaela Gordon, how are you feeling today?
Holiday.
Oh,
I'm feeling.
We're singing. Do we have the rights to that song?
You know what?
Sing it? It's radio.
Holiday. Kind of a nice tone. I'm feeling it. I feel like for the first time this month, I'm just feeling really optimistic. I think that having Memorial Day come feels a little bit like summer again. And you can't cancel Memorial Day. It's not like anything else. You can genuinely celebrate it. You can go outside. You can social distance. And so I'm feeling pretty excited about just having the day off.
I will tell you this. Like we spent days trying to figure out what we're doing for Memorial Day weekend, what hotels are open, and if they are open, is their pool open? If their pool's open, are they socially distancing? Are they limiting the number of people? My cousin and I have been going back and forth because there are certain counties outside of LA County that are more open than LA County. And then it comes down to, okay, well, how much do I trust that they're actually going to adhere to these rules and these guidelines? Do I want to go spend time around people? It's been a wild sort of lead up to Memorial Day weekend. Regardless, it's coming. It's here. It's happening. Summer is officially starting, which is always kind of strange. You know, you're in Las Vegas right now. I'm in Los Angeles. It's always sort of summer here. It's like 77.
Totally.
And it's hot in Las Vegas right now. And you also have a pool in your mother-in-law's backyard, which probably helps.
Okay, but let me tell you this. Never in my life have I experienced this. This is such a like first world problem. But I was so excited to like jump in the pool. It's 85 degrees outside. The pool is freezing cold. You really can't swim in it. I've never heard of such a thing. And I don't know why.
Well, my mom said to me the other day, she's like, honey, she goes, I hear that you're allowed to swim in the ocean now. I'm like, yeah, we're not really allowed to lay out though or sit on a beach or have a picnic, but we can get in the water. She's like, well, go swimming. I'm like, I would not get in this water till about mid-July. It is so cold. So I'm with you on that. I'm a fan of a nice 76 degree pool, 77 Ooh. Maybe, kind of warm, not too warm, but kind of cool.
Yeah,
that's my vibe. I have a pool in my house, or my parents do. Growing up, I had a pool, and thank God we had a heater, because an Ohio girl, you never know what the weather's going to be day to day. So I get you on that. I feel you.
Absolutely. Well, I want to tell you something that also kicked off my summer of 2014, and I'm having major nostalgia. I used to cruise to this job. The only thing through was Love and War by Tamar Braxton. I used to blast it. And I'm so excited because she will be our guest in the final hour. She has a new show coming out. And I want to tell you something. I re-listened to the album yesterday. All the same memories came back.
That is so fantastic. Well, from one diva and one queen to another, we've got also a story about, this is really interesting to me. We have a story coming up in this hour about Diana Ross. Apparently had no idea that one of her most iconic songs of all time would be a gay anthem. No clue. Not only did she not know it'd be a gay anthem, she didn't know it'd be a gay thing at all. We're going to talk about that in 40 minutes from right now. It's really fun. But first, Michaela Gordon, how about some news on the beat?
You got it, babe. So Democratic senators are urging the White House to prepare for a double dose of COVID-19 and flu outbreaks in the fall. 15 senators led by Massachusetts Democrats Elizabeth Warren and Ed Markey penned a letter to VP Mike Pence saying the administration's coronavirus task force should heed warnings from experts who say the virus could surge again in the fall around the time flu season gets underway. Now, this would tax already depleted healthcare systems. Senior military members have issued similar warnings. Michael Gilday, Chief of Naval Operations, and General David Berger, Commandant of the Marine Corps, have both said they think the pandemic threat will be a long-term problem. Meanwhile, the U.S. is inching ever closer to recording 100,000 deaths as President Trump says he will order flags to be flown at half staff to honor COVID-19 victims as well as the military. Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't done that sooner, and I think he was criticized harshly about it.
There's a lot of social media attention around flying flags at half staff. It took him a couple of months, but he did it, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's sort of credit.
I guess. Congratulations on finally doing it. All right, well, if you're celebrating a birthday, a happy, happy birthday, you're in good company. Jennifer Goodwin from Once Upon a Time in Big Love is 42. We actually have some people joining us next week from Once Upon a Time. The cast is raising money, so we'll be having some of the people come on, and I'm very excited about that. Now, supermodel Naomi Campbell is hitting the big 5-0. How she's 50, I have no idea, but she's stunning. And Irish singer and vegan activist Morrissey turns 61. Now, do you want to give us a vibe of the day?
Irish singer and vegan activist, is that what that?
That's our birthday. On. I don't know who that is.
Happy birthday. A friendly reminder, you are here for a reason to witness various beautiful seasons. Yeah, that's a good reminder. This is only a season, people. If you're not enjoying it, there could be another one right around the corner.
Absolutely. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, a woman in Nebraska has decided to sue every gay person in the world. It sounds crazy, but can she actually do it? And will it affect you? We'll have that story for you coming up in 7 minutes.
All right, well, that's the iconic I'm Coming Out by Miss Diana Ross, the original queen, at least yes. In my mind. And this story is so interesting. Didn't want to bury the lead. Going to go ahead and give it to you right out the gate. Nile Rodgers and his writing partner say that Diana Ross had no idea that that song, I'm Coming Out, would be a gay anthem. So here's the story. This is really interesting because actually her album, Diana, her best-selling, most iconic album of her entire career, came out 40 years ago today, which is wild to even think about. Let's paint the picture. Let's set the scene. Mm-hmm. So we're coming out of the disco era. Mm-hmm. Disco is now dead, but there's still some influence in music. She wants to kind of take her career in a different direction. She wants to appeal to a younger audience. So she enlists Nile Rodgers and his writing partner, Bernard Edwards. Now, they had their own group for a while that was very, very successful called Chic. They had songs like La Freak, Good Times, huge disco anthems. They also wrote We Are Family.
Gay.
I mean, come on. So some of the most iconic disco songs of all time. But she reached out to them to help her bring in a younger audience. Okay, so the first song on this album comes out, Upside Down, of course, goes to number one. Huge hit. Well, then it comes time to release I'm Coming Out. This is really interesting to me. So apparently it comes out, and there is a very influential DJ at the time. He worked for WBLS, DJ Frankie Crocker. He thought that this was Diana Ross coming out as gay. She didn't even perceive.
Well, you have to think that also this is only about 10 years into celebrating Pride. Like, this year is the 50th anniversary mm-hmm. for so many. So it's only been 10 years since people have been gay. This anthem was something that I think they were waiting for, the permission to be like, gay. So of course they ran with it.
Well, so here's how they flipped the script on it for her. They're like, listen, because she was a little bit antsy about that. She's like, I'm not gay, but. And they said, here's how they convinced her. She said, this song is going to be your coming out song. We think of you as our black queen. And so the idea was that it was supposed to sort of pay homage almost to, you know, how the president comes out to hail to the chief. They saw this as her song to open her concerts with, an uplifting song, an empowering song to get everybody excited to listen to her. And that's the story of this song. It's they actually sat down with her before this was the first major superstar these writers had ever worked with, right? They sat down with
her. Imagine the first superstar you ever work with is Diana Ross. I just want you to put that in your mind also.
The bar is already set so high, right? So they sit down with her for 2 days and just interviewed her. They recorded audio of her, took down copious notes as if they were writing like a piece in a magazine article, right? Because they just wanted to get to know her. And then they started writing these songs. Then they started writing the Diana album, and they actually used her words. And when they first started playing it back for her, she's like, her mind almost exploded. She's hearing her conversational words made into songs.
Well, this is so crazy because it's actually a really great songwriting technique. I know that when Lizzo wrote Good as Hell, that was the same thing. She went into the studio and she was talking to her producer, and she was like in a vibe, like in a funk. And she was just talking about like how she wanted to feel. And that's what what her team did. They just started writing all the things that she was saying. And that's how they got Good as Hell. And I think that's probably the most authentic way you could write a song.
I think it's so beautiful. I saw her. She was honored a couple years ago, I believe, the American Music Awards or the Billboard Music Awards. I can't remember which one it was. Her daughter, Tracee Ellis Ross, was hosting. Yes. And they honored her at the end. They brought up the entire family. Her grandchildren were up on stage. I was sitting, I think, front row that year. And it was such a touching moment to see them all together and to honor this living legend in such a way. And who knew that the Diana album, 40 years later, you know, on the 40th anniversary, would be so relevant? If you really think about this for just a moment, her first single goes number one. It's titled what? Upside Down. The world is literally upside down right now. So what do we got to do? We got to wait till things clear up and we can all come back out again. When the quarantine is lifted or there's a vaccine or whatever that day is, I'm blasting I'm Coming Out for the rest of the year.
Coming up. You know, speaking of Diana Ross, Tracee Ellis Ross is having a big year as well. A new film is coming out with her and Dakota Johnson where she is a singer and she wants to revive her career. She wants to make an album that she wants to make. It's great. I think it's going to be so good. But also, you see so much of Diana and Tracee Ellis Ross, particularly in this movie High Note.
So similar. Also, Blackish just got renewed. ABC launched or announced all their renewals and cancellations yesterday. Congratulations to Blackish. I think they're coming back for a seventh season. Yeah.
Congratulations. All right, you guys. Well, another big congratulations to these next upcoming artists. I guess you could say they're upcoming because a lot of people don't really know them yet. Channel Q just dropped their new song together. I guess it's Lady Gaga and Ariana
Grande. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I guess they have this new song called Rain on Me. Either way, Channel Q got the exclusive. They dropped it. So we'll talk about these alleged stars coming up.
You're listening to The Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. We've got a big weekend coming up, Memorial Day weekend. But first, we want to take some time to check in with each other. We also want to check in with you. We hope you're doing well. We appreciate your support. Thanks so much for hanging out with us here on The Morning Beat every day of the week. We've got some good news for you. A lot of good news, actually. One, you can download the radio.com app, take The Morning Beat with you on your mobile device anywhere you go. So you don't really have to take a break from us this weekend. I'm just saying,
yes,
you can't get away from us.
Yes.
Please tell your friends and family. We appreciate it. The other big news, a couple up and coming artists, Michaela Gordon. You were talking about them recently. I think it's pronounced Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I think Gaga.
Gaga and Ariana Grande? I'm not really sure. Anyways.
Definitely Grande.
Lady Gaga, Ariana Grande dropping a new song overnight. We've got it all weekend long here on Channel Q. We're going to be playing it all morning long. It's a bop. We love it. Rain on Me. So why not do something a little special this time for checking in, Michaela Gordon?
I would love that.
Should we check in on our girls? Should we just check in on them? Because I love both of them so much. I've got stories for days.
Well, you know, this was interesting to me. I've been waiting for a new bop from Gaga, I think, as we all have. And then to know that there was a collab with Ariana Grande was amazing. I love this song already. But something I read, Lady Gaga wrote Rain on Me because she was dealing with heartbreak, but also because she found that she was numbing herself with alcohol.
Relatable. And I get it.
And on Monday, I told you guys, I'm just taking a break from drinking for a while. Not that it was necessarily out of control, But dealing with the death of my grandma and dealing with the stress of COVID, I just really want to be present as opposed to allowing myself to be distracted. It's something that I'm practicing and working on in therapy. And the first couple of days I was like, I don't know, this is weird. I have to say today, I feel really, really good. But I think that we've been dealing with that a lot as a society. You know, it's very easy to distract and numb yourself. It's even harder to be honest about that. And I think that's why I gravitated just immediately to Rain on Me. Obviously, Gaga sounds phenomenal. So does Ariana Grande. It's a collab we didn't even know we needed.
Yeah, Lady Gaga, she's very open about her use of, you know, smoking and alcohol in her documentary 5'2". It's so, so good. If you haven't watched it, watch it this weekend. It's fantastic. She's very open about that, though. It's amazing that her voice still sounds the way it does. She's like a chain smoker, literally.
It's unreal, but she has such an incredible voice. And I think that, you know, I always felt that way about Amy Winehouse too. Like no matter what she was doing, her voice was always just on and so good. And I think that's a testament to their true power and talent. And then of course, Ariana Grande, like
Ariana Grande, a few years back, one of my very first years working for Dick Clark Productions, we were at, I believe it was the American Music Awards. And I was sitting in on a sound check when she was performing Bang Bang. Remember with, Nicki Minaj and Jessie J?
Yep.
And Ariana was the only one practicing her vocals and she was doing full out run throughs. There were probably 30 people in the entire huge auditorium, right? All production. I'm sitting there, my very first time working a major, major event like this. I'm sitting front row by myself. There's nobody for 100 rows behind me, nobody near me. And she comes out and sings the whole chorus of Bang Bang to me, like into my face, like 4 feet away from me. And I literally, I turn to my left, I turn to my right, I look around, and then as soon as it ends, she goes, "You're handsome." And I was like, "What? Ariana Grande? I'm losing my mind." And it will go down forever as one of my most iconic memories. I saw her perform, I think, Poker Face the very first time at White Party years ago. Mm-hmm. I was in the front row with my boyfriend, my friend. Lady Gaga. I saw Lady Gaga perform Poker Face. And then I also saw Ariana Grande perform Problems. So I saw both of them sort of break out. They both got their starts really in the gay community at White Party in Palm Springs, which is fantastic.
Well, they're giving us a gay anthem and the anthem that we all need. Now, speaking of pride, in our final hour, I'm so excited. Tamar Braxton joins us to talk about her new show, To Catch a Beautician, on VH1. But first, as we enter into Pride season, find out which corporations are working towards supporting our community and how they are doing so. Stick around with a new Channel Q.
Oh, that's the new bop of the summer, Michaela Gordon, Rain on Me, as you just heard by Lady Gaga, Ariana Grande, coming from her Chromatica album coming out later this year. It's been pushed back a couple of times, but ooh, these queens are doing it.
Yeah, they are. Let me tell you something. I heard the first couple of bars yesterday, and just going into Memorial Day weekend and hearing now, COVID cannot stop a summer bop, and I am here for it. I thought about all the things I'm going to do. I'm going to drive down to my car today, down the empty Las Vegas strip, and just blast it. I love it. I feel like it's the good news we all needed.
Well, you're living your best life, apparently. We're living our best life, too, because later on today, we've got one of your favorites. She's on the show, Tamar Braxton. She has a new show coming out on VH1. She's here to talk all about it. Can't wait to have her on the show. Super, super excited about that one. Michaela Gordon, congrats on that booking, by the way. Y'all, just so you don't know, here's the thing. Michaela and I have a little system. She's really good at getting guests on her show. I'm really good at getting guests, publicists, information. Then I pass it over to Michaela. Michaela reaches out, does her little zhuzh.
Charms. Do you guys know what I learned how to do? I just want to share this with the world right now, because this is more important than bookings.
Share away.
Hyperlink. That's all I'm going to say.
Wait, whoa. How do you use hyperlinks? I'm confused.
Listen, didn't know a few days ago. Now, word genius.
Hold on. But you're 32 or 29. Sorry. 29.
I'm 27.
27. Okay, whatever. Got it. So you're 32 and you learned how to use a hyperlink this week. I could not love you more.
Not just a woman behind the mic, honey. One who knows how to hyperlink.
do you know how to give up give us a news, or are you not ready for that? Can you do that too?
Yeah.
Why don't you hyperlink us to News on the Beat?
Why don't you hyperlink us to News on
the Beat? Oh wow, that's a new thing. Let's make that a thing. That's our thing this summer.
All right, you guys. Well, President Trump confirmed the U.S. will exit the Open Skies Treaty, a pact designed to reduce the risk of military miscalculations that could lead to war. Trump says he was prompted to make the decision because Russia has not adhered to the treaty. Now, he hopes the withdrawal could force Russia back to the table to come to a new agreement. However, high-profile national security figures have expressed concern that scrapping the treaty could just lead to more tensions between the two countries. The Open Skies Treaty is part of a series of arms control deals meant to reduce the risk of misunderstandings among member countries in and near Europe by increasing transparency and predictability. Do you know much about that?
Well, here's the thing. So the Open Skies Treaty has been around for quite a while, actually, since 1992. I feel like Donald J. Trump just likes to get us out of treaties that other people have us in. You know what I mean? I feel like he just doesn't oh, somebody else did it, I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't know if he really thinks things through. I really honestly believe it could be as simple as a Democrat signed us into this, or I don't like the name of the title. And he just like, I'm bored today. Let's get out of that treaty.
Yeah, for sure. All right, you guys. Well, running out of News on the Beat today, the man who recorded the fatal shooting of Ahmaud Arbery in February in a neighborhood outside Brunswick, Georgia, has been arrested on suspicion of murder. William Roddy Bryan Jr. witnessed the deadly encounter between Travis McMichael, who is white, and Arbery, who was black, from a vehicle that was stopped behind a pickup truck near the site of the shooting. Gregory McMichael, Travis's father, was in that pickup truck and told police that Brian earlier had tried to help them stop Arbery. Now, an attorney for Brian said his client has committed no crime. The case has caused nationwide pain and outrage and raised questions about the scope of citizens' arrest laws. Let me tell you something. I'm just going to say this. There was a link that somebody sent me trying to argue that I felt it was done out of racism. And in this article, the man said that according to Georgia law, you can do citizen arrest, and you can, even if you have to protect yourself, then you can shoot. And try to break down this video. First of all, some of the laws in Georgia desperately need to be redone. And I hope that this causes for that to happen. Also, citizen arrests cannot be made off of assumption. Ahmaud Arbery did not come out of that home with anything in his hands, which
he was unarmed.
He didn't steal anything.
He was unarmed. And even if he did steal something from another construction site, let's just say he did, which he did not. Let's say he did. It doesn't give you the right to hunt him down and shoot him with a shotgun.
According to the law, they are able to track him down. And then if they feel they're in fear, they can. Well, and they're saying that he tried to reach for the gun and they shot him. But there's video of white people going into that construction area multiple times from December.
And also, here's another thing. This man who's now been arrested, people were first praising him. First, they wondered where the video came from. Then they started to praise him, you know. But here's the thing. He sat on that video for months.
Yep.
That's why he should be arrested. That's why he should go to jail.
We could go on this story forever, and maybe we will next week when we have more news. Now, if you're celebrating a birthday, happy birthday. You're in good company. Supermodel Naomi Campbell hits the big 5-0, and Jennifer Goodwin from Once Upon a Time in Big Love is 42. Now, hit us with a vibe of the day, babe.
A friendly reminder, you are here for a reason, to witness various beautiful seasons.
I love that. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right, you guys. Well, we're entering into Pride season. So find out which corporations are working towards supporting our community and how they're doing it coming up next.
You're listening to The Morning Beat on this Friday. And if it's Friday, you know what that means. We've got our very own Donald J. Trump on the line. Now, Michaela Gordon, actually, when she was in the beauty pageant circuit back in the day, she had the pleasure of meeting who would one day be our president. And now, because of that connection, he calls in every Friday and we get an update from Donald J. Trump. Mr. President, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, good morning.
So how are you?
I'm doing great. We have a lot to cover once again.
So much. What a week. It's really incredible.
You had a wild week. So now you visited Michigan. yesterday to tour the
big fort. State, an important state for me. Very important state.
You flipped it in the last election by a few thousand votes. Right. You visited the Ford plant there. Now they were making masks. They said everybody had to wear a mask. All their employees are wearing masks. The Michigan Attorney General said you were no longer welcome to the state because you did not wear a mask there.
Right.
So did you go?
Never liked her, by the way. Never. Okay, attractive woman.
Why? Okay. Well, I think the governor is a woman. But why did you decide not to wear a mask while visiting the Ford plant?
Well, number one, Michaela knows me so well. She knew me in my heyday. And, you know, I never wore condoms. So why would I wear a mask? Oh. I'm a risk taker. That's why. You know what I mean?
I do not know him that well.
You got to take a risk.
Were you trying to ruffle feathers, Mr. President?
You know what? The press, they're dying to see me in a mask. I'm not going to give them the pleasure.
Well,
I'm not going to give it to him. Screw them.
May have already seen this, President Trump. I don't know if you know this or not, but somebody actually did get a photo of you in your blue mask backstage. It's going viral.
TMZ. I never liked that little crap, Harvey Levin. Never liked him.
A lot of people.
And his son with the dreadlocks. I don't like him either.
Not a son. Definitely not a son.
All right. Well, listen, you said yesterday, I don't know if you're trying to be funny and controversial with the mask or with this statement, but you said if there was a second wave of the virus, you would not shut the nation down again.
No.
Now, why is that?
Well, because we've already been through it once. We know what to do. People are social distancing everywhere. I've seen people getting haircuts with you know, the PPP, whatever that stuff is called. Everyone's doing everything they need to do. It's so important to get the economy running. We don't need this. You know, if it's second wave, it's a second wave. No one goes along with second waves. No one goes along with that. We're going to keep it open.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, we hate a comeback.
No, it's so unnecessary. Maybe the third wave I might come back, but the second wave, never.
Well, President Trump, okay, so this could be actually a bright spot.
And by the way, my second wave was Eric. Look how that turned out.
That's good, that's good. Well, President Trump, this could be a bright spot of your first and hopefully last term in office. You unveiled the flag this week of the new armed service, the Space Force.
Right.
Are you proud of that moment? How do you feel?
So incredible. They have people signing up. They're falling over each other to sign up for the Space Force. It's so exciting. Space, the final frontier. And believe me, I know about the set. It's the radio. The aliens are coming. We're going to have a tremendous fight with the aliens, and we got to get ready with the Space Force.
Well, President Trump, it's interesting how you worded that people are falling over each other trying to sign up for this. Is it possible they're just trying to get out of Dodge? Like, maybe they're just trying to get out of the United States right now. Is that possible?
Possible. People, you know, space is so incredible. I would like to colonize the moon. I think that would be great, and Mars and Pluto. I think it'd be really incredible. You know, fantastic luxury hotels up there. And that's what we're going to do with Space Force.
Basically, you and Elon Musk.
They're just doing scouting for my hotels.
Yeah, and well, Pluto's not a planet anymore, so good luck with that. But kudos to you.
Well,
yeah.
Listen, potato pencil, you know, if you want to split the atom with me.
All right, well, listen, you dropped another big bombshell this week stating you're taking hydroxychloroquine.
Yes.
Now, are there any side effects? And are you really taking it, or are you just telling people you're taking it?
Well, two important things. Number one, this is a very, very exciting opportunity for you two. And I don't share this with everybody, but we are going to make so much money on this, and you can be part of my downline because this is a tremendous product and it's going to be so incredible. I bought 30 million doses and it's going to be my new multi-level marketing hydroxycut.
Oh,
it's going to be incredible.
I hear a pyramid scheme here. Yep.
Well, it's a reverse pyramid because you're going to make so much money. You're going to be thanking me so much. You would be a diamond, a triple diamond. You'd probably win a brand new car. You'd probably win a
Lexus, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Well, thank you, Trump. I want to just say that there's one last question. I know that Joe Exotic has been trying to get your attention. He really wants you to pardon him from prison, the Tiger King star himself. Do you have any plans on giving that any attention?
Well, both of my sons keep asking me about this guy. They said he got a raw deal because he's in jail for 94 years and all he did was put some tigers to sleep or something like that. They say he's very funny, but the most important thing is they say he has tremendous ratings. And I think when you have very high ratings, you shouldn't have to go to jail.
Well, of course, President Trump, as we let you go, as we head into this Memorial Day weekend, really quickly, do you have a message for your American citizens, for your constituency?
Well, I would like to say that we have more cases because we have more testing. We have more testing than any other country. And I think that's why we have, because when you test, you get a case. It's kind of like when you take a pregnancy test. It's like, oh, crap, I'm pregnant. No one likes that.
Simple. Right. Easy. Awesome. All right.
Well, don't test.
Yep. Trump, not a single word. Not a single word about our troops or our veterans on this Memorial Day weekend. Thank you, Donald J. Trump, so much.
But he did talk about Tiger King, which is really
the military.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up in What's Poppin', Tara Reid is confirming her own news when it comes to Tiger King. Find out what it is coming up next.
All right, Michaela Gordon. Just when we thought we'd finally turned a corner. Tiger King back in the news, and we have some casting news, perhaps. Michaela Gordon, what's popping?
Yeah, okay, so the whole Tiger King thing has been insane. We tried to reach out to Nicolas Cage, who's allegedly playing Joe Exotic. He was unable to give us the interview of a lifetime. But there's a new gal in town who's possibly in talks to play Carol Baskin, and it's none other than Tara Reid. Now, Tara Reid has found her new fame through, like, with the Sharknados. And
of course, she did 15 of them, I think.
And we had known her from American Pie, and she was so sweet. And then she's just kind of been doing her thing. And so now, apparently, she could be in talks to play the role of Carol Baskin. And actually, it makes sense, and I think it could work.
This one actually kind of does. You know, she's younger than Carol Baskin, of course. A little bit thinner. Tara Reid is very, very thin. However, she sounds to be super excited about this. She even said she'd want to spend a whole week with Carol Baskin just getting to know her.
Oh, my God. Well, can you imagine Tara Reid and Nicolas Cage filming opposite of each other? Like, that's just I would just watch for that.
Well, yeah, if you're Nicolas Cage's agent, here's the conversation I want to have. Nicolas Cage's agent calls him and says, hey, you're signed up for Joe Exotic. We found your Carol Baskin, your arch nemesis, your equal, Tara Reid.
Yeah,
I want to hear Nicolas Cage's reaction to that conversation, because I love her. She's kind of a hot mess, but I also love her.
I love her too, but also I just saw a photo of Nicolas Cage from Con Air, and I'm not going to lie, he was hot in Con Air. Like, body, sickening. Hair, yes.
I'm such a lesbian. Remember Face Off with John Travolta? Yeah. They switched faces or something? That was sick. That was a good one.
So I feel like this could be very good casting. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. You know that Dylan, his boyfriend, who we had on the show, Joe Exotic's boyfriend, they have a whole campaign going right now. They have a huge tour bus. And they drove the tour bus to Washington, D.C. They have a whole team asking for Trump to pardon Joe Exotic.
Well, we asked him about that on the
show. And it's become a whole... I mean, I could ask him if he wanted to come back on and talk about it.
No, but we did. We mentioned to him, have you thought about, you know, reaching out to Donald Trump? I remember we talked to him. I believe we talked to Dylan or maybe his previous husband, John Finley. One of them, we had that conversation. And they said, you know, it's something we're looking into. It's interesting to see how it's sort of playing out now. I really cannot wait for this film. And I'm also so proud of Tara Reid. And who knows, because you know how Hollywood works. Who knows if she's actually in conversations or if
she confirmed it.
She confirmed it. So that's a smart play, though. If she's not in conversations, but she put it out there, we're all talking about it now. And all of a sudden, the wheels start to turn and people think, maybe she could. So I'm excited. You know, she really did revive her career in the Sharknado films.
Yeah, she did.
That was must see. Like, I would set my alarm, set my calendar reminder every single time one of those films came out. I loved them.
Yeah, I did too. Well, listen, I think it's a really good idea. And I'm also in talks with people about playing Carol Baskin. So we'll see how it goes. It's really up for anybody. All right, guys, we're coming up in our next hour. We're joined with our nurse practitioner, James Simmons, talking about the CDC health advisory. A new one has just come out. Also, I want to remind you, next week we have some incredible guests. Adam Rippon and Kristen Doty join us. And then in our final hour today, Tamar Braxton is talking about her new show, To Catch a Beautician. We have a great rest of your show, a great week next week. So stick around. for the new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. We're joined again by one of our dear, dear friends, nurse practitioner, soon to be Dr. James Simmons. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And we want to update our listeners on what's going on with COVID-19. We saw the CDC has just said this week that coronavirus does not spread easily by touching surfaces or objects, but it still may be possible. That's kind of confusing to me. What does this mean? What does this mean to you?
So to me, this means something of a game changer, believe it or not. I think this is kind of bigger news than people are making it out to be. So on the CDC website, they have these guidelines and they sort of update them all the time. And sometimes they're news, sometimes it's not news when they update them. They've always sort of said that the suspicion that this passes by from contacting a surface is low. Well, now that they've done more research, we spent more time with the virus, we've learned more about it, they're saying, wow, this is really low. Like someone would need to have sneezed or coughed directly on, I bring up the door handle all the time, right? Directly on a door handle, and then you touch it immediately, and then you rub it in your eyes. Like, if that's not happening, you're probably not going to contract this from touching anything.
Wait, so are you telling me that when I come home, I don't have to get out my Lysol disinfectant wipes and wipe down every handle every time I come from outdoor? Because every time I go to the store or anything, I do that when I come home.
In classic CDC fashion, they're saying, you should probably still wipe things down because they are a very, very conservative organization, not politically, but in terms of like conservative with their health recommendations. So I still think it's important to like sanitize your home, have the Lysol around, whatever. But this whole like washing everything down from the grocery store, like all of those things, I actually think as long as you're using hand sanitizer, it's totally not necessary.
Wow, that makes a turn.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a game changer. I think there are people, I was still hearing of people microwaving their mail and like doing all these, like
what?
not touching Amazon.
Microwaving mail?
Yeah, because they thought, you heat it up, it kills the virus on the mail. People not touching their Amazon packages for 3 days. I think we're past that. I don't think we need to be doing that. I think you touch your package, you bring it inside, you open it, you wash your hands really well. You throw the packaging away, just like you.
So, hey, James, listen, I touch my package all the time. I'm just fine. I just wanted you to know. I mean, my Amazon.
Friday.
I'm just saying, I couldn't go 3 days without touching my package. No. I said tucking my package.
Or wow, tucking. You've been watching Drag Race.
We're so professional.
Yes. All right, I want to ask you a question. So I just got to Vegas. It was my grandma's funeral. I'm not vacationing, but I know that some of the pools are opening up, some of the public pools also, because it's Memorial Day weekend. A lot of people have been going to Lake Mead. How do you feel about that? Is it safe enough to go yet? It's also like 95 degrees in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Is it hot mm-hmm. enough? What are some of the guidelines you have with states that may be reopening public pools for Memorial Day?
Again, by the way, hearts and thoughts and hugs when we can in person, Michaela, all my hugs to you with your grandma. I know I've been following this journey with you, so I know it's a tough time for you. There are, there's this gray zone that's happening right now that I think where it's going to be, make a lot of people really uncomfortable. And we don't have like a very clear answer on this. Essentially what more conservative organizations like the CDC are saying is don't do it. We're still not there yet. What some other health experts are saying, though, and some very, very smart infectious disease people, there's a couple of guys at Beth Deaconess Israel Hospital, a couple of guys out of Boston University, even here in California at UCLA, are saying, all right, we know you're not going to get this from the water, and you're now probably not going to get this from touching surfaces. It really is just being in close proximity to someone who has it and then receiving their droplets or whatever, right? So go to the pool party at your friend's house where it's going to be a small amount of people that you know, and everyone's still got to stay at least 6 feet away from each other. Don't share anything, but you can go. It's okay. So I think Lake Mead on a party boat with a bunch of people, a hotel pool in Vegas, not a good idea. Uh-huh. Your friend's pool party where there's three to five people, you can have your own utensils, your own glass, your own bowl of Doritos, like whatever, and you're staying 6 feet away from everybody else, but you're at least in proximity to other people, thank God, for the first time in 3 months. I think that's probably okay.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I just want to say this because I don't mean to keep bringing up my grandma, but I feel I have to say that so people don't think I just like came to Vegas for vacation.
Just sort of, like,
I don't
want to
be irresponsible, yeah. But I will say Vegas is leading a very different life. And I don't know if I'm necessarily mad at it. They're kind of wearing the masks, of course, and staying 6 feet away, but getting back to normal life. Restaurants are open here. And I kind of agree with that in a way. Like, let's move on.
James, I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm going to let everybody else test the waters. I'm going to stay home for a few more weeks and watch everybody. I'm not okay with the gray zone. Although I will say, to be fair, and as we head into Memorial Day weekend, I think a lot more people are going to be doing this for the first time. I had a barbecue with my family last weekend, and there were only six of us, you know, and we'd all been quarantined, you know, privately working from home. And we were in my cousin's backyard, and I brought my own tumblers for my drinks. I brought my own, I even brought my own silverware. We decided no snacks, no veggie trays, no chips that we're going to share, none of that. And then we ordered takeout, and then we each got our own little thing, and we sat outside. And I'll be honest, we were closer than 6 feet away sometimes, but we did do the best job we could socially distancing. So I think a lot of people are probably going to be doing it this weekend.
Yeah, I think that's honestly a thing. And, you know, the Michaela, just to your point about Las Vegas, too, Sweden did not lock down at all. And they're sort of the world's experiment about what happens when you don't do any sort of lockdown at all. And their death rates are a little bit higher than their countries around them, but not significantly more so. Their rate of spread is a little bit higher than countries around them, but not significantly more so. And so it sort of remains to be seen in this, like, Sweden's kind of being an example for the rest of the world. And so are other parts of our country in terms of opening up. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I don't think that we should be irresponsible, but it's interesting coming back to my hometown, a town that normally is flourishing, and it just feels like a dead place. People have to get back to work. I mean, we don't want to be irresponsible, but we got to get back to work. So thank you, James Simmons. We love you. You can listen to James with Ali on Drop the Subject every day, Monday through Friday. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Give love to your husband. We'll talk to you soon.
Y'all too. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, babe. All right, this is a very special guest. In light of Memorial Day weekend, we're talking to an LGBT veteran, Denny Meyer. He'll be joining us, so stick around with a new Channel Q.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Now, as we head into Memorial Day weekend, it's so important that we remember to honor our veterans this weekend, to take a little time to think about those who served to in order to give us the liberties, the freedoms, the rights that we, you know, we have now. We feel like they're being taken away sometimes during this pandemic. But in all reality, our worst day here in the United States is still a dream day for many around the world. And one veteran in particular who served our country well, he is an out and proud gay man. Denny Meyer is joining us now from New York City. Denny, thank you so much for taking the time to call in, first and foremost.
Thank you for your services.
So give us a little bit of background on you and your military background for our listeners.
Okay. Well, the fact is that there actually are over a million LGBT veterans who served our country from World War II to the present.
Wow.
Living. And another million served from World War II to the present who are no longer living. So I served during Vietnam and the child of Holocaust refugees from World War II. And my mother arrived in this country as an illegal immigrant. And she raised me to believe that there's nothing more precious than American freedom. And so she had no idea what what that would result in. But during Vietnam, I was in college, and I saw my fellow American students burn the American flag.
Wow.
And being a child of immigrants and a first-generation American, that pushed my button. And so I said, it's time to pay my country back for my family's freedom. And I went out and joined, at that time, the U.S. Navy. And my my gay friend said, are you crazy? You can't do that. You're a little queer. And I said, watch me. And I went home and told my parents. And they said, Zaitz my sugar, which is Yiddish for, are you crazy? You're supposed to be a doctor or a lawyer. And I ended up serving 10 years.
Wow.
and first in the Navy and then in the Army Reserve and leaving as a sergeant first class.
That is so incredible.
That's amazing. I just want to tell you that my father's side is Holocaust survivors, and my mother's side, my papa and my uncles all served in the Navy and went up as well. So thank you really for both sides, especially for serving for our country. Now, mm-hmm. It's tough, and I know that. And my family, the men of my family, ended up leaving and had a lot of PTSD. It was very difficult for them. I can't imagine adding LGBT to that as well. What was your experience like when you got into the military?
In those days, we did what was called serving in silence. It meant that you had to hide who you were every minute of your life. Or you risked being, if anybody even suspected that you were gay, you'd be murdered.
Wow.
You could be shot in the back in Vietnam or thrown overboard in the middle of the ocean in the middle of the night in the Navy. And if you were not murdered, you'd be reported. And then you would be interrogated for 3 months and terrorized and then dishonorably discharged. So you had to watch everything you said. For 10 whole years, every single day, I had to listen to crude jokes, death threats, everything you could imagine about queers. And the person who was speaking never knew that the guy he was talking about was standing right next to him. So,
you
watch every word. You could not slip for a second with what you were doing on the weekend or whatever. And if you think that doesn't give you PTSD, it does.
Denny, and I mean, I can't even imagine. We talk about on our program a lot. We just talked about the other day. We had a conversation with a therapist, actually, of the mental impact of, you know, keeping these secrets, living in the closet, for some people living 1 foot in the closet, 1 foot out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to, on a personal level, thank you for your service and tell you that I am so sorry that that was your reality. I can't imagine what that sacrifice must have been like for you, but I am curious to know, you know, you served, when did you enlist in the military? What year?
1968.
All right, there you go. So, and the country was kind of going through then something similar to what we're going through now as far as a revolution, a change in civil rights and other issues. Mm-hmm. You've lived through that. You've lived through the don't ask, don't tell era. And now you're living through the ban on transgender men and women serving
Indeed.
In the military. Does it shock you that in 2020, we're still there with that issue?
Well, at the time that I volunteered, when anti-war protests were raging across the country. There were a lot of young men, Americans, who ran away to Canada to avoid serving. And there were thousands and thousands of young straight men who lied and said they were gay to avoid serving. And I lied and said I was straight, so I could serve.
Wow.
Now, you know, we lived in an era of in the 60s, of deep prejudice that went back 100 years against blacks and any other minority. And this was the America people don't want to think about. We live in a different era now, or supposedly we did, until the end of Barack Obama's presidency. He was the Abraham Lincoln, Moses, and Jesus of gay rights.
Yeah.
And even made an executive order to allow transgender people to serve openly. Mm. And now we've gone back to the Middle Ages, where a crude, vulgar man is prejudiced against everybody and has his own thing about transgender people, despite himself being a perverted sexual abuser of women, et cetera, who brags about it. And so, yeah, it's a tragedy that in 2020 this is still going on.
Denny, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Before we go, because I think that this is often a question, you were ridiculed. You have your own PTSD, being a part of the LGBTQ community. For some people to enlist to fight for our country, they could probably be angry and say, well, I don't want to fight for this country. These people are rude to me in America. It hurts me. How did you stay away from being bitter and always staying positive to fight so hard for our country in that 10 years where you were ridiculed?
Well, I was raised by very resilient people who managed to escape from Nazi Germany and were kind of born survivors. And Even before they got here, they had the American spirit of resilience and independence, and nobody's going to tell me what to do. And that's the way I was raised. And when I decided I was going to serve my country, nobody could stop me. And that's what carried me through the entire 10 years I could have left, you know. But I didn't, because I was determined to do what I wanted to do. And mind you, I'm a flaming Democrat.
Don't misunderstand. I couldn't tell.
Don't misunderstand my patriotism. You know,
well, listen, I'm going to tell you this. I will tell you this, Denny Meyer, before we let you go. Republicans do not own patriotism. They do not own God. They do not own America. They do not own our military.
Exactly.
So thank you for being a strong advocate for that.
So people who want to serve, the point is, as the Army saying goes, you can be whatever you want to be. And the gay rights movement, the gay military rights movement says you can be whatever you want to be. You can, you know, nobody can tell you you can't do this, because my friends told me that, and I said, watch me, and I proved
Denny,
my point.
You're Denny, you're a hero, and the reason we celebrate Memorial Day. You deserve so much more when it comes to just being a Holocaust, coming from a family of a Holocaust survivor, being a part of the LGBTQ community, fighting for your country. You're Denny, everything we want to do.
Denny, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put this up on our website too, on wearechannelq.com, because there's so much information, and you're part of a group called AVER, American Veterans for Equal Rights. We're going to put that up in the link on our website as we celebrate you and our other million plus LGBTQ veterans during Memorial Day weekend. Thank you so much.
AVER is online at aver.us, aver.us.
We'll put it on our website. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Denny. Please take care. Happy Memorial Day, really.
You too. Thank you.
And when y'all are drinking and trying to go to the pool and getting a tan, you just remember Denny Myers and why we're really celebrating it. Now, coming up next in What's Poppin', we are also celebrating Todrick Hall, who's throwing a virtual party benefit today. Find out what it's benefiting and how you can help coming up next.
All right, welcome back to the Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We want to remind you, as we head into this long holiday weekend, you don't have to wait 3 days to listen to us again. We're going to do a best of episode on Monday, so there's all kinds of great content there for you. But if you don't want to wait till then, we have another option for you. You can download the radio.com app, take the Morning Beat with you on your mobile device anywhere you go. Please and thank you. Tell your friends, tell your family. Speaking of somebody who is a friend of our show and almost like family to you, Todrick Hall is doing something really kind of dope. Michaela Gordon, what's popping?
He really is. So we have Todrick on the show quite a bit, really just because we've been really good friends since I was 16. I mean, years. It was probably 2 years ago, 18 now. And we're actually talking to one of his really good friends in the next hour, Tamar Braxton. They've done a lot together, but he's putting together something really special. He's hosting a virtual prom benefit to fight LGBTQ homelessness. Now, a lot of people have been holding these proms and these graduations for our class of 2020, but there's a lot of homelessness happening as well. And it was really important for him to make sure that he did something special. So it's him, and there's going to be celebrities that we've had on the show, Jiggly Caliente, Mateo Lane, Vincent. Also, congratulations to Vincent. He just recorded, for sure, it's the song of the trailer, but I think it's the new song for the new season of Queer Eye. And he says, you know, it's really important to me. They'll stop by for appearances and some performances. There'll be voguing tutorials and more shenanigans to help celebrate Harvey Milk Day. And it's going to be really, really sweet. I think it's really important that we don't forget our youth and our LGBTQ homeless.
I just need to take a moment, because I know I've been friends with them for years too, but you, on a very different level, you're friends with Todrick Hall. And what he has been able to do since, you know, not having the success that he had hoped for on American Idol. You know, he was kind of called like a Broadway singer, or you're very specific, and they tried to put him in a box, and he's just cannot, there's not a box on this planet big enough for Todrick Hall. And no. What he decided to do, he became a bigger superstar than almost anybody who's ever come out of that show. And he's done it his own way. He creates content. He comes up with these concepts, and he will put out the most incredible video that will come from thought to completion in less than 24 hours.
Yeah,
and this guy now, what?
He did a whole, this is how he genuinely works. When I say he's a one-man show, He is a one-man show, and nobody can take that away from him. He choreographs all of his things. He writes all of his music. He records all of his music. And, you know, in 2020, you have the luxury of having other people do that. He never has. And he came out with Quarantine, and it was a full album based off of House Party, but with new lyrics to celebrate, not celebrate quarantine, but talk about quarantine. He did it in 1 week. He was exhausted, made a whole album with visuals in a week. And so now he's giving back, which he often does. And I'm really, really excited. I'm so proud of him.
Yeah, this is happening. This is also happening today, too, for all of our listeners out here on the West Coast or the East Coast. It goes on today, May 22nd at 11 p.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time on Instagram Live. And the Instagram is pride_site. This is really cool. I love it.
I love it, too. I think it's going to be amazing. So do head over there if you can. It's to benefit True Colors United and support LGBTQ youths experiencing homelessness.
After you listen to us, of course.
Obviously, then that's the most important. Get over there. All right, you guys. Well, we have an amazing show for you next week. Olympic medalist Adam Rippon joins us along with Vanderpump Rules Kristen Doty talking about her new book. But coming up in the next hour, Tamar Braxton joins us to talk about her new show on VH1. To Catch a Beautician. Stick around.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Thank you so much for tuning in as we inch closer and closer to the start of summer. Memorial Day weekend is just moments away, but don't go anywhere yet because we have a fantastic interview coming up in 20 minutes. She's an R&B icon. She has a new show coming out on VH1 this Monday. We're talking to Tamar Braxton. Now, Michaela Gordon, I guarantee, will geek out over this interview. So 20 minutes from right now, you're going to want to be here listening to that interview. It's going to be fantastic. Michaela Gordon, how are we doing?
We're doing good, babe. I'm literally trying to get this news and the rest of the show out because I'm going on vacation mode in my living room.
Your living room. There it is. Same.
Maybe to the kitchen. Nobody knows.
Well, you are in Las Vegas at your partner Lisa's mother's house. You do have a swimming pool. Not heated. It's not heated.
Let's talk about pool and mother-in-law. Yesterday, I thought it was in the privacy of my own backyard, but not technically because it's not my own backyard. And I was tanning topless. And all of a sudden, Lisa's Armenian mother walks out and decides that's the appropriate time for a full conversation. And at one point I was like, Mom, read the room. I'm literally topless. And she's like, well, what do you want for dinner? And I was like, okay, goodbye. Thank you. She finally goes inside and I went into
the kitchen. You chicken cutlets for dinner?
Yeah, she did.
Wait, what? That was
She really did.
That was a woman's chicken cutlet breast joke right there. That was
She did with rice pilaf. Never phasing her at one point. And she walked away and I was like, am I in another world? What is happening?
Well, honey, she's European. It's a different thing there. Everybody's topless.
I love it. I think it made me more embarrassed, but also like I was pleased. And then I was like, everything's going to be all right, you guys.
Okay, girl. Okay, yeah. Girl gets a breast reduction 2 months later. She's going topless at her mother-in-law's
house.
I'm proud of you. I really
thank
am.
Thank you. It's who nothing, I am now.
Nothing says Memorial Day weekend quite like that story, Michaela Gordon. So thank you for that gem.
You're welcome. Me and my mother-in-law have never been closer.
Well, let's transition from you sunbathing topless in front of your Armenian mother-in-law into some news on the beat. Make this transition. Go.
All right, you guys. Well, this story is crazy. Now, we're talking about people having the opportunity to have more tests, which is very important. But it's also been a little bit scary because we now are coming into the idea of how many people are really affected with COVID-19. Now, over 1 million people have tested positive with this virus. I don't know if that makes you feel relieved or more terrified, but no. The testing is available, it's working, and that's what we know right now. Now, this is breaking news. Speaking of COVID-19, you remember when Trump made that little old remark about how he takes hydroxychloroquine every day, even though Sean Foley was like, I wouldn't do that. So now, just came out this morning, right now, from the medical journal, The Lancet, they're saying that you are more likely to die or develop dangerous heart arrhythmias if taking hydroxychloroquine. So researchers looked at the data from more than 96,000 COVID-19 patients from 671 hospitals, all hospitalized from late December to mid-April, and had died or been discharged by April 21st. Just below 50,000 were treated with the drugs hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine, and the treatments were linked with a higher risk of dying in the hospital, one out of six patients. So,
yet our president is telling the nation that he's taking it daily, which any doctor will tell you that's not something you take daily anyways. So dangerous.
It's so dangerous. And I think that hearing this news, you know, we want to drag Trump, we think it's funny, but at the end of the day, he's adding to the death toll with his ridiculous facts that are not facts. And so please, please ask your doctor, be advised, do what you're supposed to do if you get tested positive.
Yeah, do you listen to the guy who made a cameo in Home Alone 2, or do you listen to, you know, 100,000 cases, 600 plus hospitals, researchers, scientists from around the globe? I mean, let's be honest.
It's true. All right, you guys, well, in better news, if you're going into the weekend, you got to be celebrating your birthday. And today is a birthday for supermodel Naomi Campbell. She's hitting the big 5-0. Jennifer Goodwin from Once Upon a Time in Big Love is 42. An Irish singer and vegan activist, Morrissey, turns 61. Now, give us a vibe of the day, please.
A friendly reminder, you are here for a reason, to witness various beautiful seasons.
Beautiful. I love that. Well, as we're coming into Pride season, we want to talk to one of our favorite gay icons. Tamar Braxton joins us coming up to talk about her new show, To Catch a Beautician, and her new single, Crazy Kind of Love. We'll have that for you coming up next.
Welcome back to The Morning Beat. Thanks so much for joining us. We're super excited about this next guest. She has a new single out, Crazy Kind of Love. She's also got a new show coming out Monday on VH1, To Catch a Beautician. Please welcome to the program, Tamar Braxton.
Yes.
Honey, thank you so much for being here. You're an R&B icon, a reality TV legend. How are you doing during this quarantine? How are you holding up?
I mean, well, come on, introduction. All right. Oh, I'm here for that. I'm doing great during this quarantine. I mean, at first, you know, it was a lot. I spent my birthday in quarantine. Mm-hmm. I was having a meltdown because of that, because I wanted to be with my friends and my family. And then I started doing the quarantine snacking, which put me in a deeper rabbit hole. And now I'm making my way back out. I've gotten my mind right, you know, I can't do that.
I have tell you, speaking of mental health, just quickly, I listened to Love and War on repeat with Todrick Hall in his kitchen in 2014, and you got me out of the darkest place. But it is also mental health awareness. How are you treating your own personal mental health right now? Because a lot of people are experiencing that.
Oh, it's a struggle. You know, it's a struggle because you are within these four walls, you know. And let me just tell you something. I just feel like when I went on Big Brother, it kind of groomed me and helped me for now. Mm-hmm. because it was like, you know, celebrity jail, right? And so it's like almost like being on house arrest. We're all like being on house arrest, right? So it's like I can function and I'm able to take my mind off of the fact that I am stuck in a place, if you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But it is a struggle because, you know, my whole life has changed. You know, I'm usually on the road. I'm usually at work. You know, my kid is usually at school. We usually have a system. But at first I was just like thrown into like being a teacher, being a best friend, because he's the only child, and a play date all the time. And you know, I got to be Beyonce at night to my chocolate bar. And so, so it was a lot to kind of, you know, try to balance. But I'm doing much better with it now. As a matter of fact, I absolutely love it.
All right. Well, Tamar, we love you. And I know you can be a little messy. We can be a little messy here at The Morning Beat. Before we talk to Catch a Beautician, I know you're a big fan of these, like, battles, these verses over on Instagram Lives. They're so fun to watch these iconic sort of acts go up against each other. Is there anybody that you would do one against? I know you had a little beef with Candy Burris. She just won the Masked Singer.
Have beef with Candy Burris.
Okay, so what is that then?
I don't know where that coming from. I love Candy. Listen, I have expressed that I am not happy with Candy and NeNe and how they're acting right now and why they have so much beef and where did it come from. But I've always been 150% loyal to Candy and I always will be. I don't know where that's coming
from. Would you do an Instagram battle with her or versus with her, or who would you want to go against?
No, I wouldn't go against Candy because Candy has, you know how many hits Candy has? Uh-huh. Like I only have 5. She has like 50. I'm confused.
Well, good. I'm glad you cleared that up because I feel like oftentimes media really gets things messy when they're not supposed to be. And so I'm happy that you cleared that because we love you and we love Candy. Now, I want to ask you before we talk about your show, Crazy Kind of Love, about your show To Catch a Beautician. Crazy Kind of Love is amazing. I feel like we've been waiting for new music and the music video is out now. You can watch it. Why did you write this song? What does it mean to you?
Well, I actually didn't write this song, which is so funny because this is the only song that I've ever, you know, recorded that I didn't have anything creatively to do with.
Oh, wow.
I did this movie, True to the Game 2, and they've been asking me to do a song for the soundtrack. And I'm like, nah, I'm not really interested because everybody kind of knew how I felt after Blue Bird of Happiness. Like, me and Vince got a divorce. I was like, I don't want to do music anymore. I really don't have anything to say or sing about. I don't really feel like writing. And so I have an amazing publisher who is a good friend of mine and went out to dinner. And on the way back, he played me this song. He was like, you need to do this song. I heard it and it's all you. And he played it. And I promise you, instantly, I fell in love with the song and music again. So, yeah. So I did it. And it's on the soundtrack, True to the Game 2. And I mean, now I'm putting together a record.
Well, that's I love that you've got the music, you know, itch again. You know, you mentioned NeNe Leakes a little bit ago. We had her on the show just the other day. She just released her first song. You say you don't understand why Candy and NeNe are beefing right now. What sort of advice would you, if you could sit those two girls right down right now, what would you say to them to kind of like work things out?
Well, I had NeNe on my Tamar Takes show on YouTube. And, you know, I told her that, you know, I was stuck in the house with Candy for 30 days. And before that, I've known Candy for 20 years and we never really got along. But in the Big Brother house, we became really, really good friends. And I told her, NeNe, I've always had a good relationship with NeNe. And I told NeNe, I was like, you and Candy need to get together and get to know each other because you guys are really, really like each other. You guys are very similar. So I don't understand all of the beef and drama. Like, yes, NeNe is a little bit more loud than Candy. Yes, she is. But they are both really good-hearted people and they're both real bosses.
Yeah.
And I respect that about them both. And so, like, I don't know what the beef is, but I think that if they really sat down and really got to know each other, like we did.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, I think it's a really interesting insight because sometimes the people that are most similar, that are the most boss, have the hardest time getting along. But if they can break through, though, it can be a different scenario. That's awesome.
All right, now let's talk about To Catch a Beautician, because we're all in need of a beautician. Ma'am, I have been in quarantine for 70 days. The grays are showing. I didn't remember my natural hair color, and here we are. So we're waiting for this show. It airs this Monday, the 25th, Memorial Day, but we get 2 episodes. Talk to us about To Catch a Beautician.
Well, first of all, I'm just going to say everybody knows me for my honesty. This is the best show on television. I'm just going to keep it 1,000. I'm not saying that because I'm on it. I promise I'm not. But it's like Cheaters meet To Catch a Predator meet.
Oh my God.
Botched.
Ooh.
Seriously. Yes, seriously. So the client comes to us about a hair catastrophe that they have, right? And they tell us a story about what happened. So on Monday, you get to meet Taylor Coco. And so what happens is her hairstylist did her weave, but she did her braids and her weave way too tight where it felt like she was playing tug of war with her braids. And it left a hole in her head. So that's why I'm like, oh my God, you got a hole in your head. Because she does. And I could totally relate because I have definitely had a weave that was way too tight, that pulled my hair too tight, and I was left edgeless, right? And so we find the stylist. They think they're coming in to have an interview with Johnny Wright, celebrity hairstylist, co-host. Yes. And as they're talking and as he's figuring out, you know, what their specialty is or whatever, or what their background is in hair, Taylor, Coco, and I are in the back. and they don't know that we're there. Well, she doesn't know that we're there. So we come out and kind of bust the beautician. Yeah, you come out and be like, hey, girl, you remember her? And what happened to her hair? And so, yeah. And so they get a chance to go through Johnny's boot camp and learn some techniques from the hair disaster that they did. And they get a chance to redeem themselves.
That's Tamar, amazing. I'm telling
you, Tamar, I'm going to be real honest. My boyfriend, I've been with my boyfriend for 8 years. And real talk, like this revival of Black excellence we've seen in recent years and women wearing their hair natural. For a white guy, a lot of us are learning for the first time what that process looks like. And I watch these videos online all day long of beauticians saving bad hairstyles and bad hairdos. So I'm already hooked. I'm ready to watch the show every single episode.
I'm Italian. I've gone from black to orange to blonde. The hairdressers have messed me up when I wanted to have a cute blonde moment. So I'll be watching and learning. Tamar, we love you. Literally Love and War was the soundtrack of my whole summer.
Thank
you. Congratulations on your new single, Crazy Kind of Love. Watch To Catch a Beautician. It airs this Monday on VH1 at 9 p.m. and then another episode at 9:30 p.m. Take care and be safe. And thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
All right, guys, well, coming up as we enter into Pride season, find out which corporations are working towards supporting our community and how they are doing it coming up next.
All right, as we enter Memorial Day weekend, that to me means one thing and one thing only, really. Of course, you know, we celebrate our American heritage, our troops. But you know what else this tells me, Michaela Gordon?
Tell me.
Pride season is right around the corner.
Oh, that old thing?
I kid, of course. But no, Pride season is getting so close. Memorial Day weekend is always our sort of kickoff into summer. And then the gays take over for a month. It's going to be a little bit different this year. Of course, I get that. However, major corporations are still stepping up in big ways and supporting the community, which I think is so beautiful. We've seen so much more of this in recent years. Now, Skittles is doing something a little different, though. So they're known for their rainbow, right? Taste the rainbow. It's their slogan. We all know it and love it. This year, though, they're doing something here that they haven't done in the United States up to this point. They've gotten rid of the rainbow. So they're actually releasing Pride packaging that is completely black and white, other than the red outline of the Skittles logo and one single red Skittle. And during this period, while this packaging is out, they're donating $1 to GLAAD for every single Skittles Pride pack sold, which I think is so fantastic. Up to $100,000 using the hashtag One Rainbow. I think this is really cool. It's kind of different. It's interesting.
Yeah. You know, I think it's really great. We've had this conversation many times because we feel like in the past there have been corporations who really just take on Pride season. Yep. And then when it's done coming into September, it's all gone until then next June. And I remember being in a meeting with Channel Q. It was with our program director, Brian Holt. And we had to talk to a sales team, not ours, but another sales team. And we said, listen, we have to stop this. Like, if you're going to pitch things, you have to make sure they're willing to do it all year round. And the company, the sales team actually said, we would love to. Why don't you tell us how to do that? Because we're very open to it. And so I think that, you know, in cancel culture, it's very easy to look at businesses before 2020 and be like, well, you guys haven't really been around. But I think a lot of people just don't know how to do it year round. Skittles, however, has done it all year round. This isn't a new thing. They did it in Canada, in the UK. And so I love that. I appreciate that. I mean, hello, taste the rainbow. It's like our slogan. Yeah,
I think it's fantastic when companies do more than just pander to us for our dollars during the month of June. You know, Nike's been doing a Be True campaign for years. They release a whole line of LGBTQ+ merchandise every year for Pride, and I buy it every year. They also do the same thing for Black History Month. So they take on a lot of causes. As you know, I'm an ambassador for Barefoot Wine. So full transparency, I'm working with the company doing a campaign right now. But they have a thing called the Slay Team, which is a whole bunch of LGBTQ influencers and personalities that they work with them. They have special Pride packaging on their wine and their like little cans of spritzers. It's really cute, but they've actually, Barefoot Wines has been doing Pride campaigns and working with the community since 1988. So there are a lot of companies like Skittles here who have been doing these kind of great things for a long time. I think in recent years, we've seen, while it feels good to see a lot of corporations taking on the mantle of supporting equality and pride, a lot of them, like you say, tend to do it for 1 month out of the year. And they started doing it recently once public opinion shifted and it was apparent that they could make money off of it, which is sad.
But also, if it gets the exposure, it's not a terrible, like, starting point. Does that make sense? Like, at least it gets the conversation started, and now we're having the conversation.
You know, I really like that perspective, because I think that walking into a place where conventionally they would not celebrate Pride, even if for only 3 months, that new audience of people who don't necessarily agree with Pride see that people are celebrating it. Maybe it's just one more mind that we can change that says, hey, we're here, we're queer, we're good people, let us do our thing.
Who was it? Just a couple weeks ago, there was a corporation, it was like their Twitter account, and somebody was dragging them for supporting gay issues, and they just came back with the greatest clapback. I can't remember who it was. But a lot of these major corporations, though, they're allowing their social media to be more witty and to be a little bit more forward in their or progressive in their responses. And so I think we are seeing a cultural shift. And it's about time. Because I remember the first time I started seeing Pride merchandise a few years back, I remember just being brought to tears. I'd seen people celebrating the rainbow.
Yeah.
You know, it was so common in my life for so long. But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Netflix. Yeah, it was Netflix, because they made a comment. Remember, they made a comment about putting an LGBTQ plus character, an unnecessary character in every single show.
And they're like, why is that necessary?
Yeah, they're all necessary.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I love that.
That was our producer, Justin, producing us from afar. From afar. Via Zoom. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Justin. All right, you guys, well, coming up, we're ending our show with our segment, Life Goes On. Find out how housewives from Bravo are helping our coronavirus first responders. We'll have that coming up next.
You're listening to The Morning Beat. Thank you so much for hanging out with us all week. Now, as we head into our Memorial Day weekend, we want to send you off with some love and light in your heart with a couple of inspiring stories in a segment we like to call Life Goes On. This first one coming right out of the American epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic. We're talking about New York City, of course. There's a principal by the name of Justine Lucas. She happens to oversee one of the Big Apple's largest public schools, PS 143Q. It's also, though, at the epicenter of New York's coronavirus outbreak. So she's bringing some calm to the chaos, making a very, very difficult job. I can't even imagine what she's doing. Already very difficult, much more difficult through this COVID-19. She says that a lot of our students have very, very sick families, and some of our students' families have passed away. And so we're trying to wrap around everybody with as much support as we can. So she immediately got to work to make sure that her staff, her students, they all felt like they could lean on her during this time. So every Friday, she hosts a virtual mental health check-in with her teachers and regularly hosts meditations and yoga sessions with her staff, parents, and students. She also does coffee with the principal, which is a really cool idea, every Tuesday, so parents can ask her questions, have an opportunity to communicate with her. I think this is very, very, I think it's cool. She also encourages her students to record themselves saying affirmations like, I am safe,
I am loved,
I am going to be okay. So kudos to this principal.
Yeah.
I mean, so many, I did not grow up in a school system where things like affirmations or meditation were really talked about, but congrats and kudos to Principal Justine Lucas for being so thoughtful. You know, we do a segment every day on our show called Checking In, and she's literally doing it with her staff and parents and teachers in Queens, New York, which is really awesome.
Yeah, I love that. All right, well, here's another story that I really love. Now, everyone is obsessed with The Real Housewives. We've had so many of them on our show, from Erica Jane to NeNe Leakes. But now what they're doing is some of the housewives, including Shannon Bedore and Sonia Morgan, are auctioning off their reunion dresses for coronavirus first responders, which I think is amazing, because some of the dresses, as we all know, these women have money, honey, and some of them cost more than $5,000. So it's all going to the first responders, from Tamara Judge, Dina Manzo, Caroline Manzo. They're all pitching in and getting rid of those dresses and getting to the first responders. So I love it. No matter what you say about them, they are pulling it together.
And there are some iconic looks over the years. I mean, sometimes the cast will do like, we're all going to do like white dresses this year, or I'll do champagne color dresses, or I'll do red. But there are some really fierce looks. I mean, you got to think, we're talking Teresa Giudice as well. There's so many.
Kim Zolciak looks. Yes. I love it.
Joanna Krupa, remember her from Real Housewives of Miami? That was on for a couple seasons. So kudos to them. So fantastic. I love this.
I love that too. Well, you guys, listen, We just wanted to send you into your long weekend with good vibes. You know, it's been very stressful this past couple of months. And so we really encourage you to just stay off of your phones, stay off of your computers, enjoy what's going on around you. Give yourself a break. Even if you've just been relaxing the past 2 months, give yourself a full relaxation, move the stress, have a good time. We have a great show for you next week. Olympic medalist Adam Rippon joins us along with Kristen Doty. She has her new book that she wrote. It's so cute, and it's really a very empowering book for someone like her.
Yeah, I mean, we're really excited to talk about He's Making You Crazy, her book that just is coming out soon. She really goes in depth. We had a really fantastic interview. We've been holding on to this one as it gets a little bit closer to the release of her book. We're going to share that with you. Yeah, take a little time to yourself this weekend. If you do have to get on your phone, no judgment. You can just download the radio.com app and listen to the morning beat. Like, whatever. You can or you can't. I mean, whatever you want to do. If you miss us, you can hang out with us. But definitely take some time to celebrate yourself this weekend, to celebrate your loved ones, whoever you can be around. If you're self-quarantining, just take a little time to enjoy, you know, Memorial Day weekend. It's still a very important weekend for us to remember, you know, those who have fought for us and those who've lost their lives, and to celebrate the official start of summer.
Woo! All right, you guys, we'll have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Stay safe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.